went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hantoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com. Or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. Our office is Suite 404 in Building 400. If you have any questions and want to get a hold of me, the best way to get a hold of me, to talk to me, would be to call my cell phone. My cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, that's 845-561-2225. If you want to email me, directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concerns that you have. This show is called When Your Health Matters, and I come here every week to give you specific understandings about health topics that are chosen by my cohort. He's in studio with me. His name is Mark Sabin, and like I just alluded to, he's in charge of coming up with all the topics and creates all the questions to help create clarity for you, the listener. And we appreciate the time, energy, and effort that goes into picking the topics and creating the clarity for you, the listener. And we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thank you, Doc Rick. You know, it's always a pleasure to be here. And, you know, I really look forward to these shows that we get to do because the conversations we have are do so much to help people who want to get a different perspective on what it means to be healthy and how to achieve health.
Absolutely.
And one of the questions that comes up so often, or maybe it doesn't come up often enough when people have a health condition, is that they don't understand what's going on with that, with their health. And in your practice, you take in seven different perspectives that you like to look at in terms of a person's health. What is the reason behind why you focus on the whole person like that?
Well, we are whole people, Mark. Each one of us is a person with a body that is supposed to function as a whole, not a bunch of individual organs or individual glands or individual systems even. We are a triune being, and that being of body, of mind, and of spirit, and we need to be treated as such if we expect to be whole. So when you take on a holistic approach, you want to make sure that everything is in balance, not just necessarily, you know, your heart sounds good or your lungs sounds good or, I don't know, your blood sugar is fine, because that's controlled by a bunch of different organs and a bunch of different systems. And so if they're all working in harmony, okay, you get a beautiful symphony that comes out of the overall functioning of all of it. But if the trombone section or the horn section is off beat with the percussion section, then are you going to get good music coming out of that orchestra?
Not likely.
Yeah, so the body is the same way, and we need to treat it as such and take a look at it as such. And I understand why medicine became so specialized as individual departments. You know, we got to have the experts on the heart system, and so we developed cardiology as a department, or people who have respiratory issues, so we developed the respiratory department, or the pulmonologists, if you will. And then, of course, if we're going to bring new children into the world, we need an obstetrics and gynecology department that helps deliver babies and all of that. And I get the understanding and why we need those specialists, but if you're going to help a person be healthy, then you want to look at them as completely and as holistically as possible. And then if you develop a problem within a particular system, okay, how does that system relate to the whole body? And then you can start to get a sense of the reason what we're probably going to talk about today, which is the understanding of why a person goes out of balance.
Well, exactly. And I mean, when I go to the doctor for some complaint, it's like, well, I've got a backache, or I've got a chest pain, or my arm is numb. There's always something that I'm going in there for. So it kind of, doesn't it make sense that you would want to go to somebody that was a specialist in the area that you're having a complaint?
Yeah, but you have to understand that you are not a complaint. You are somebody that has a complaint, but you're still a person. And so you want to understand, okay, well, how does this complaint impact you as the person? Okay, somebody with a heart issue could have respiratory symptoms like shortness of breath that's coming from the heart that's not pumping sufficient blood to the lungs, therefore causing the lungs to malfunction, or fluid backing up in the lungs because the heart is not functioning properly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it makes sense that when you're looking at somebody's health, that you want to look at the whole person. At the same time, when you come in, you know, you're dealing with a particular symptom that you might have, and that's really goes back to the thing that we talk about often on the show, which is that you're going in to get treatment for an illness or for a disease. You're not necessarily going in there for health.
Right, because we don't focus on health as a whole. We talk about, quote, health care, but it's not about caring for health. It's about treating disease, and that's the misnomer that I feel is goes on and that you and I have discussed quite a number of times over the years. We don't have a health care system because it's not about health. It's about treating sickness. So we actually have a sickness care system, and we treat sickness and we care for people with sickness, mm-hmm. but we don't actually make anybody healthy. Because at the end of the day, the way the system's set up is there's no money to be made in keeping people healthy. So the focus is on what they have wrong with them and doing screenings to find people that have stuff wrong with them, so that thank goodness we did this screening because we caught something early enough that now we can treat it and we can help you with your life. And I can understand the perspective, but my perspective is a little bit different. I want to know what can we do to make sure that we don't end up having a health concern, we don't end up having disease, we don't end up having cancer, or we don't end up dying of a heart attack or having a stroke or something along those lines. I would rather prevent that rather than look for it and then treat the effect of it.
So what do you do when someone comes in with a particular symptom?
Well, Mark, it's different with everyone. We're going to sit down and we're going to talk about their specific symptom. We're going to have a conversation about how the symptoms started, when you notice it, what makes it better, what makes it worse. And we're going to have that conversation is going to be different with every person because you need to treat every person as an individual. So, yeah, they taught us in school that you want to ask a certain number of cookie cutter questions. That's the same question for everybody. But I found over the years that, you know what? Seven of those questions don't necessarily apply to this particular condition, so why would I waste time asking that question? I want to ask questions specific to what the person's coming in with. So when I sit down and have a consultation, we just simply have a conversation about what they notice about their circumstance, why they feel that it's a problem, when did the problem start, those kinds of things. And we start to shed light on understanding, okay, what's going on with this person? Because sometimes the symptom that you have isn't necessarily directly related to what you could think a problem would be.
Interesting.
And so you want to, you know, by having a bunch of give and take with the patient and getting their personal perspective, I was taught early on in my career by one of my clinicians and mentors and teachers that, you know what, if you ask the patient the right question, they will tell you exactly what's wrong with them because they're the one living with it. But if you stick to a group of cookie-cutter questions that covers the specifics that's going to satisfy the insurance company that you went through and you jumped through all the appropriate hoops to get paid by the insurance carrier, you may not get the accurate answer. And it's funny sometimes because doctors will sometimes jump to conclusions. Okay, you got some sniffles, so we're just going to give you an antibiotic without ever doing a culture to determine whether it was viral, whether it was bacterial, whether it was just simply congestion from physiological digestive imbalances, etc. And so you have to take the time to ferret it out, but that's the operative word, time.
That's one thing most doctors don't have.
Most doctors don't have time because of the constraints that they're under, because of what the insurance company requires. And also, they have to see a certain number of patients within a certain amount of time in order to make a decent living.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure the listener there is nodding their head saying, yeah, you know what, when I go into the doctor, the face time with the doctor is actually not that long at all. Yet my insurance company got billed several hundreds of dollars for that simple amount of FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like if you know what you're doing, you can get right to it. But if you don't know what you're doing, then you don't necessarily know what you're dealing with. And that creating the clarity of knowing what you're doing involves first sitting down and having a conversation with the patient and letting the patient tell you exactly what their problem is.
Well, I think, you know, what you're trying to get to is what's underlying whatever complaint somebody came in with. I mean, there, I guess in your practice, there are probably two different types of people that you treat. One type, which is someone who comes in with complaining about, with a specific complaint, and then other patients you have that are on a maintenance program where you're maintaining their health.
Yeah, the majority of my patients nowadays, unless they're coming in as a new patient, a majority of them I've worked with long enough that I know the names of their kids, I know what their life is about, I know the stresses that they're under, I know everything that goes into why they would be walking into my office, because I get to know them on a personal level, mm-hmm. not just a physical level in terms of doing a physical exam and knowing that, or not looking at lab work and knowing what they're a patient number when this is what their lab work is. No. Patients over the years have said that they really appreciate the fact that I take such a hands-on personal approach and that I get to know them. And then they come in and they have the ability to open up and talk to me about what's going on in their life. I have a patient in my office who, she was actually in my office last evening, and she was crying. Why? Because she feels that she doesn't have anybody that she can talk to about how she feels and what her health issues are. And I said to her, I said, well, that's interesting because you're doing that right now with me. Mm-hmm. And she says, oh, Dr. Rick, I understand that I do that with you. I'm saying that I don't have anybody to do that with outside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, that's because you're trying too hard to find that perfect person. And, you know, God's ability to bring you that perfect person is somewhat challenged by the simple fact that you've got such tight constraints on what it's supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would just relax and have it be a person that's going to have these qualities, okay, then you give your universe, if you will. You give permission to allow that to show up. But if you're saying, if you're trying to control the outcome so much that you get in the way of the true solution to show up, then that becomes an issue too. And so it's important to have the ability and have the time and to take the time and to have the desire to get to know the person that you're dealing with. The more I know about a patient, the easier it is for me to help them. So when they fill out my new patient intake forms, a lot of times I get comments that's like, you know what, your forms were quite interesting. They were very thorough, but they asked me questions no doctor's ever asked of me before, and I found that fascinating. And it actually makes me feel that you'll understand me and my condition more rather than just those core cookie-cutter questions that every doctor is taught to ask when they take a history.
Well, I mean, if you are looking for what the underlying cause and why somebody has a health issue, then what you do, because you do look at health from all these different perspectives at the same time, you need to know the answers to those questions or where there's some information that the patient can give you to tell you what's going on. Well, I'm having this problem in my marriage, or I'm having this is going on at work, or this is a pain I have in my shoulder, or...
Right, and it's funny because sometimes when a patient is giving me introductory information about their condition, I will then start asking them questions. Do you have this problem when you're at work, or do you have this, you know, this situation in your primary relationship, or do you have this going on when you exercise? Mm-hmm. And they'll look at me and they'll be like, "How could you possibly know that?" Yes, that's true, but how would you know that? I didn't say any of that. How would you know that? And then, like, over the years, I've been accused of being psychic and all that, and it's like, no, I'm not psychic. It's just like, you know what? As you and I understand because of the time that we've spent together, your body takes on a certain pattern when it has a particular problem. And the symptoms or the outcomes or the way that the body expresses itself is related to a particular pattern. And when you start to recognize the pattern, then you understand the behavior that supports that pattern. So then I can ask questions about their behavior, and it seems like it's magical, or it's, I don't know, psychic is what I used the word before. But people think that, you know, this guy's like a magician. How would he know these things about me? And it's nothing other than taking the time to care enough to take a look at who you are and what influences how your body expresses itself, and helping you to understand that if you have a particular way of doing things, it's going to lead to a particular outcome. And if you don't like that outcome, then we have to take a look at what the behavior is that causes that outcome. And if we subtly change the behavior, then you get a completely different outcome, and probably the kind of outcome that you're looking for, which is why they're coming to see me anyway.
So if you have to change the behavior, do you sometimes actually go even behind what's stimulating the behavior in the first place?
Yeah, we talk about people's belief systems and how that comes up, because it's your belief system. If you believe that it never snows because you've never seen it snow, you've heard about it, maybe you've even seen pictures of it, but you've never physically experienced it, and you say, yeah, I don't believe in this snow stuff. Okay, and then I take you to a place where you can actually experience snow, then that would change your whole belief system. But going into it, you're like, yeah, that's not possible. And I had a conversation with a patient this morning who basically said she was dealing with a particular imbalance that is basically transferred, if you will, or it's spread, if you will, through bodily fluid contact, which could come through just showing affection. It could be through sharing utensils or drinking out of the same glass or what have you, through intimate contact, what have you. It would be important in that particular circumstance that I take a look at your partner. Because if I'm going to fix you on the front end, I need to make sure that your partner isn't continually to bring the condition back to you, because then you're going to say that I'm not getting better. And it was early on in my career when I was helping people in that way, I couldn't figure out, well, we're treating this person and for some reason the condition isn't going away. And then I was like, well, let me look at all the reasons for why they would have this. What are all the things that influence their life? And when you get a sense of what influences their life, belief being one of it, but also your lifestyle, which is a byproduct of what you believe. If you believe something's beneficial for you, you're probably going to do it. But if you believe something's harmful to you, you're probably not going to do it. So your lifestyle is tied directly to your beliefs. And when you start to understand that, then again, it brings you to a deeper level of understanding of what the person's dealing with.
So with all this that you're doing in this holistic way, what do you focus on a person's symptoms? If somebody comes in with a symptom, do you treat those symptoms?
Well, symptoms is a byproduct of an imbalance. Symptoms is your body's end stage result of not being able to take care of the problem on its own. And so when your body can't manage the imbalance on its own, it's got to let you know that, listen, we need some help. Get a little help here. So what does it do? It throws up a flare. Mm-hmm. It produces a symptom that gets your attention. And what's the greatest symptom that a person can have that will literally stop them in their tracks, Mark?
The greatest symptom that will stop people in their track? Pain, I guess.
Yeah, pain.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's one way that God will get your attention, okay? And it's just letting you know that what you're doing is out of balance with what would be considered health or everything working together. It's like, okay, when you have a wheel misalignment on your car, you can drive it at a certain speed and it doesn't really talk to you. But if you go faster than that, then what happens to the front end of your car?
It starts to wobble.
It starts to shimmy.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's like, okay. And then if you go even faster than that, then it kind of quiets down again. And it's like, okay, if you're in that sweet spot, your body is telling you or your car is telling you that there's a problem. Okay. And the problem is a symptom of what?
The misalignment.
So good. So the symptom of the car rattling in the front as at a certain speed is the symptom that's telling you there's a problem. Good. You go into the doctor, the car doctor for that matter, okay, and they say, well, you got a wheel alignment problem. Then they do their adjustment on the wheel alignment, and then you take your car out again, and then there's no more symptom. But a symptom is your body's way of telling you that there's an imbalance. And so when a person comes in, yeah, we know they have a problem. They know they have a problem. But the question is why do they have a problem? Not what is the problem. It's easy to focus on the what. You can do lifetime treatment on the what. We do lifetime treatment on blood pressure. You treat the what forever. High cholesterol, you treat the what forever. Diabetes or high blood sugar, you treat the what forever. But why do you get diabetes? Why do you get high cholesterol? Why do you get blood pressure? Why do you get heart disease? Why do you get cancer? These are the questions that need to be answered in order to truly help the person, not simply make a living off of siphoning a little bit of money out of them, either them or their insurance company, and keeping your doors open and allowing you to live a decent living and have people be resentful of the fact that you're the guy on the block that has the biggest house with all the biggest toys.
Yeah, and I guess that's really the fundamental question that is not being asked and answered in so many of these situations. If you're dealing with symptoms and you're treating the symptoms, you're not dealing with what's actually underlying and creating the problem in the first place.
Right, and that's my perspective is that's the biggest problem that we have in healthcare is we focus on the what and nobody addresses the why.
Mm-hmm. And when you get to the why,
What goes away on its own.
That symptom goes away, but then you also find another what beneath the problem that you find, right? You find out there was this imbalance, and
right.
Then you treat the imbalance.
Right. The imbalance is the why. If you address the why, then the effect of the why goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So the condition goes away because you actually brought the body back into balance by correcting the underlying reason for what you have.
But I would imagine that that's not necessarily a simple one-to-one relationship, like, oh, I have high blood pressure because of one thing. It might be a complex...
Right, because that's the thing about why Dr. Y is so important and why the history is so important, because if you're just asking the same mundane questions that you ask everybody in order to satisfy a third-party payer, okay, you're not really getting to understanding why the person has what they have. So you need to take a good, adequate history. And when you take a good, adequate history, which is what we do at our office, okay, and then you do a physical exam that's unique to the individual, not just some sort of cookie cutter evaluation, like we're going to order this test or we're going to do listen to your heart and listen to your lungs and do the things that you do in a cursory evaluation. No, when you really get into the evaluation that's specific for the person that you're looking at, then that helps you to start to uncover and answer the question why.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a really important conversation to have about health and a different approach to health. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I have a number of other questions I want to ask about this question of why you call yourself Dr. Y.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Why do I keep getting sick? Why can't I get healthy? Why do I have to take all these medications? You want to be well. You want to know why you're not. You want answers. Now you can find out by asking Dr. Y. Dr. Y is a holistic healthcare provider who has dedicated his life to uncovering the causes of health concerns. Dr. Y has traveled the globe studying the best natural ways to help you to wellness. He'll identify the root causes of your health concerns, get you the answers you want, and help you to health in a natural, drug-free way. Schedule a visit with Dr. Y today by calling 845-561-2225. That's 845-561-2225.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. The best way to get a hold of me if you have a question or want to talk is calling my cell phone. It's area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225, or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com, and it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have. Now, interestingly enough, Mark, during the break, a thought had occurred to me. You're a father of two beautiful young ladies, and there was a time in their lives, and there's a time in every child's life, where there's a very interesting question that the child just continually asks no matter what you tell them. And what is that question?
That question is why.
Yeah, because kids are trying to understand why.
The curious thing about that with children is that when they ask you why, there's no end to the whys. In other words, why is the sky blue? Because that's, we're looking up at the sky, and then daylight, the sun and the atmosphere come together. What? Why? And It's a bottomless question for
it
them.
It is a bottomless question, but it's also the most important question, because you want to get to the understanding. And here's what I've counseled my patients to, because I personally don't have kids, but I love kids, and I deal with a lot of kids. And when the parents bring them into my office because they want me to answer the question why, because they're tired of answering the question why there, that's the thing. A child will continue asking the question why if the answer doesn't truly satisfy their why. They may ask you a superficial question, like why is the sky blue, but if they keep pursuing it, it's because they're trying to understand how life works, and that's the only reason why anybody asks the question why. So when you translate that to a health concern, the fundamental thing that we don't answer in a healthcare office is the why. I have a patient who just went through a pretty serious procedure. Okay, and the doctors were surprised that they found what they found, and they would have figured that he would have had severely more symptoms for a longer period of time, and he shouldn't be able to accomplish what he's accomplished every day for the last 20 years at his job. And he asked them when he was done, why would this have happened? And the doctors didn't have any understanding whatsoever, because it's so foreign to them to think of, well, why does this happen? And it's so foreign for us the way that the media leads us in the direction of, we all have to, you know, do a fun run to raise funds for cancer research, or do a walk for prostates, or save the tatas because we have to do a walk for that. And great, so everybody's participating in the what. Nobody's ever asking or answering the question, well, why do we have this? Why is it so prevalent that we have so much breast cancer in this country? And why do we keep using things that cause breast cancer in an effort to evaluate a person for if they have breast cancer by a thing called a mammogram? If you're irradiating a woman's breasts, and we know radiation causes cancer, and we have them come in once a year, every year, after the age of 35, is it really that big of a mystery as to why women develop breast cancer in their 40s, 50s, 60s, or 70s? I don't think so.
That's interesting. I mean, one of the things it seems that is really important to understand about this issue of understanding why, that differentiates how you practice from what you would go into in a typical doctor's office, is that you work on the communication with the patient. It's a lot of this is about communication with the patient, not only the questions that they can answer directly verbally, but questions that you can ask of the body, ways that you have tests that you are able to conduct with a person to continue that dialogue with the person to understand from them what's going on with them, so that the question why is not just out of a book or a schooling or knowledge, but it comes out of that communication.
Right, because every person's different. So having a conversation with one person about their life and their perspective and how they feel and what's working and what's not working, and then going into my evaluation and asking over 175 different questions related to how the body is functioning and getting a sense of why things aren't working the way that they're supposed to as a result of all those 175 questions and reflexes. And it helps me understand what the current level of functioning is. Mm-hmm. And if your function is off, then we can get to, well, why is it off? Physiologically, why would a person have high cholesterol? Physiologically, why would a person's blood pressure be elevated? Now, there could be several reasons for why that is. And when you start to ask the right questions, it's like, okay, well, cholesterol is a byproduct of liver functioning. High blood sugar is a byproduct of liver functioning. Even though they treat it as a pancreas problem, it's really a problem of liver functioning. And so when a person goes and has a blood chemistry done and I look at their liver enzymes and I see that their liver enzymes are lower than what they should be, I know that they have a stagnant liver. Or if their liver enzymes are higher than they should be, then I know that their liver isn't processing things the way that it should, resulting in a backup of the enzymes. Or maybe the body's excreting too many enzymes because what it's having to deal with, it requires more effort versus less effort. And so when you start to look at the numbers and you see and that correlates to what's going on with them physically, you start to understand, you get a picture of, well, what's really going on with this person? And then you understand the physiology, and then that leads you right to the why of what's going on with
them. But isn't that something that the doctors are looking at when they're looking at that blood work and the liver numbers?
99 times out of 100, unless you're an oncologist who really pulls the numbers apart, okay, doctors, unfortunately, the system's set up the way that it is, and the system's set up where it's totally overwhelming. So what happens? How many patients out there have had blood work done from their doctor, and they're expecting a phone call from the doctor, whether it's good or whether it's bad, or whether it's the nurse that's going to call, let them know whether it's good or whether it's bad. I have patients that come to me every week, and I say, did you get blood work done? They said, yeah. And I said, well, what were the results? I don't know. My doctor hasn't called me with them yet. So for all I know, I could be dying, but nobody's called me to tell me that I'm dying, but nobody's called to tell me that I'm healthy either. And that's because the sheer numbers of patients that doctors see and the sheer numbers of all the moving parts within that office, sometimes things get missed or sometimes things get overwhelmed. So it's easier for the doctor to take a look at the report and go down the report very quickly in a visual manner. And if there's no markers that say that there's this one's high or this one's low with a big fluorescent H or a big fluorescent L, meaning high or low, okay, it just gets stuffed in the file. And until the patient walks in and the doctor then has the file in their hand, oh, that's right, we did blood work last time. And I know that happens. So a lot of times it's like, well, they don't have the time because of the constraints and insurance and all of that to actually take the time to pull the numbers apart. And if they're working long hours and they got to make sure that all their paperwork is done, the last thing they want to do is spend more hours reviewing results and trying to correlate all of that. And it's, again, it's not the doctor's fault, but it's the system's fault, and it's the doctor's fault for allowing the system to control them. When I chose to no longer take insurance because I didn't want to be controlled by a third party of somebody who doesn't really have a vested interest in my patient, I had to start to understand what was really going on. And I had to be able to develop the understanding of being able to explain it to a person. This is what's going on with you. This is why it's going on with you. And this is what we need to do. And they're like nodding their head saying, you know what? That makes perfect sense. My other doctors don't tell me it in this, you know, this depth of understanding. And they appreciate that. And when I can go over somebody's blood work with them and show them, well, this number is high because of this reason and this number is low because of this reason, and these two reasons together is leading to why you went to the doctor to begin with, they'll say, oh, well, now that makes sense. So good, now I know what we need to do, and it doesn't require medication. then they're happy about that.
Well, you also look at these numbers with a much narrower range of what's considered high or low. I mean, when you go in, if the markers come up on the test results from the doctor and says, oh, this is a high number, it's outside the ranges that you typically use for those numbers are actually a narrower range.
Much narrower, because health is a narrow band, functional illness is a little bit wider, and then disease is even wider than that. So in order for a doctor to get paid from an insurance carrier, they have to have something that's verifiably outside of the normal. So they have this range of what is considered normal. If you're within that range, it's considered normal, okay? But just because you're within inside that range doesn't mean you're healthy. Just means you don't qualify for disease or sickness. So you have to be way outside of the normal range in order to qualify for care, so now they can get paid and now there's something for them to treat. I don't want to look at a person who's diseased. I want to look at a person from a health perspective, and it's a 180-degree difference in terms of where we're looking. Right. I'm looking for health. They're looking for disease. I treat a person to be healthy. They treat disease that never seems to go away.
That's an important distinction. The other thing is that you will also look at how one set of numbers relates to a different set of numbers, which isn't necessarily what shows up on those tests.
Right.
In other words, this enzyme is high and that one's low and this cholesterol is this. And you'll say, well, the fact that this enzyme's high and the cholesterol is that, those things put together.
That put together forms a picture.
Now, once you have that picture of that physiology, now you actually go through and start doing different questions.
Figure out how to modify their physiology so that, A, their numbers come back into normal. Okay. Mm-hmm. And B, their body doesn't need to produce a symptom letting them know that their physiology is off.
Right. And in that process, because one of the ways that you converse with the body is you use manual muscle testing. So once you have that information, one of the things you look at is different substances and how the body responds to different substances.
That are influencing the physiology.
Viruses, diseases, dust, mites, whatever
right.
it might be. That all those things are things that you actually look at with the patient to find out what is kicking this number out of its normal range, its
right,
healthy range.
Right, and what's nice about the way that I help people understand their condition is they're involved in the process of self-discovery. So I'll have them, I'll check a whole series of questions related to pathogens, or I'll check a whole series of questions related to food intolerances, or I'll check a whole level of questions related to heavy metals or chemical toxicities. Those are the four main reasons for why a body would go out of balance. And when we find a particular category, let's say it's chemical toxicities, there's 60 different questions that I can ask of those toxicities. Great. So we'll go through them, and we'll find a group. Okay, it's within these five different chemical toxicities that you're demonstrating a problem. Well, what are they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. We can look at them one at a time, and then we can define exactly what those five chemical toxicities are.
So you're narrowing
are.
And narrowing
and then
and
I
narrowing.
Can ask them, okay, do you come across this or experience this or ingest this or whatever it happens to be on a regular basis? Yeah, I have that every morning before I go to work. Oh, well, this is creating an imbalance in your body. Really? So then we'll address that imbalance, and then guess what? They go about their business, and now they no longer have that problem.
Well, this is a really different way to approach health, and I'm so glad to be having this conversation with you today. We need to take another short break to hear from our generous sponsor, the Alternative Healthcare Network.com. When we get back, I want to finish out this conversation about why you call yourself Dr. Why and what the benefit of getting to the question or the answer of why you have a health problem.
Absolutely, but please listen to this next commercial, and if you're struggling to understand why you have what you have, regardless of what it is, I know you understand the what you have, but you may not understand the why you have it. Please listen to this commercial, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Why do I keep getting sick? Why can't I get healthy? Why do I have to take all these medications? You want to be well. You want to know why you're not. You want answers. Now you can find out by asking Dr. Why. Dr. Why is a holistic healthcare provider who has dedicated his life to uncovering the causes of health concerns. Dr. Why has traveled the globe studying the best natural ways to help you to wellness. He'll identify the root causes of your health concerns, get you the answers you want, and help you to health in a natural, drug-free way. Schedule a visit with Dr. Why today by calling 845-561-2225. That's 845-561-2225.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We are at Suite 404 in Building 400. And if you want to get a hold of me because you have a pressing question and you need an answer to the question why, you should call Dr. Y, and that's me, and you should call me at area code 845-561-2225, again, 845-561-2225, or you should email me at docrick@spineboy.com, that's D-O-C-R-I-C-K @spineboy.com, and it would be my pleasure to answer the question why you have what you have so that you don't have to have it anymore. And Mark, we've been talking about how we approach health and do things a little bit different in my office, and I'm sure you have some more questions.
Well, I do. I wanted to know how knowing the answer to the underlying reason why somebody has a health problem, how does that benefit the patient beyond getting them back into balance?
Well, if it's a particular behavior that's causing them to have a particular imbalance, like smoking or drinking or some other kind of addiction, the first step in getting well of an addiction is what?
Stopping.
No, that's actually the second thing.
Oh, really?
The first thing that one has to do if they have an addiction, if they want to change that, is they have to acknowledge that they have an addiction. Once you acknowledge that you have an imbalance, and that's what a symptom is, it's the body's acknowledgement that you have an imbalance. Well, good. Now that you're aware that you have an imbalance, whatever led you to having that imbalance, you now have to change the behavior. If we use alcoholism as an example, if we recognize that we're an alcoholic, then we can now look at the reason why we're an alcoholic. And, well, why are we an alcoholic? Well, because we consume too much alcohol to excess, and we have problems as a result. Okay? So that's also in line with the what. The drinking is the what you're doing that leads to the alcoholism. Okay, but we have to understand, well, why do you reach for alcohol when you feel a particular way, or why do you feel necessary to reach for alcohol? There's a why there, okay? It's like any addiction, there's a why that there is the addiction. We've talked about in the past the gentleman that I helped get over his heroin addiction in an hour and a half conversation, and when we address the reason why he has addictive nature, and we showed him the mechanism of his addiction, and he was able to see that mechanism, then what happened? His belief system changed. And once his belief system changed, then the normal behavior disappeared because he wasn't behaving the way that he was before. That's addressing the why. You now take back the power. You're no longer the effect of your condition. You're no longer being controlled by your symptom. You're no longer being controlled by the medication that you need to take in order to suppress your symptom. Your body's doing its job. You're no longer the effect of a negative outcome. You're in the driver's seat. Now you're in a place of power. Now you've been empowered to take back control of your body. It's yours. You should be in control of it. And when you're not, you need to understand why you're not and then address the why, and then you go back to being in control again.
I think that for most people, that being able to control, certainly controlling your own thoughts, controlling your behavior, these are not easy things to be able to accomplish.
No, if you support yourself in living in that dysfunction, okay? If you support yourself by the person who's an alcoholic that has a sugar imbalance and they're using alcohol, the adult form of sugar, in an effort to satisfy that sugar imbalance, well, sugar is tied to a person's self-esteem. When a person doesn't feel good about themselves, they want something that's going to make them feel better, so they're going to put something sweet in their mouth in an effort to stimulate the meridian that causes them to have higher self-esteem. The challenge is that what you're eating is a sweet, whether it tastes sweet or whether it's just satisfying that sweet craving, and alcohol will certainly do that for a person, okay? When you're doing that to excess, it's going to create complications. So the behavior around having a sugar addiction or having any addiction has to do with how you feel about yourself and how you treat that imbalance of how you feel about yourself. And so when you understand the mechanism and the person can see that mechanism for themselves, then they can change their behavior. And when they change their behavior, then the problem or the effect, in this case alcohol that we were just mentioning, can go away.
So, but sometimes the why goes very deep and into the past of a person's, certainly if you deal with it on a psychological level. And I know part of your approach to health is that you deal with seven pillars of health, right?
Correct.
And mental health being one of those pillars.
Correct.
So how far back do you have to go to be able to treat something like an addiction in order to get a person to be able to change their behavior and sustain the change of behavior?
All the way back to where the imbalance started. So with this particular person who had a heroin addiction, when we started to ask, okay, when did you, what was your history of taking drugs? What did you take before heroin? Well, I did cocaine. Okay, what'd you do before cocaine? Well, I did this particular drug. And what'd you do before that? And I did this particular drug. And what'd you do before that? Well, I started with marijuana. Okay. Well, what did you do before marijuana? What was the thing that you had to crave all the time and what you were addicted to? Well, that was probably sugar when I was a little kid. Well, when did you first become aware of your addiction to sugar? Well, probably when I was about 4 or 5, when I went to school for the first time. It was very uncomfortable for me. And the uncomfortableness when my mom basically bribed me, his words, not mine, mm-hmm. Okay? She bribed me. She said, well, if you go to school and you stop crying and you go to class, when you get home, I'll have something good for you to eat. Okay? And when I came home, I was motivated for whatever my mom was going to give me. And it varied from day to day depending upon what my mood was or depending upon what was available. But every time I came home, it was cookies or it was cake or mm-hmm. it was brownies or it was something sweet. So I associated sweetness with being rewarded for doing a good job. And so anytime I didn't feel good about myself, I started to develop, well, if I don't feel good about myself, I'm going to reach for this, which is going to give me a little bit of a quick pick-me-up. And when we helped him to see that pattern within his own psyche and with his own, well, what were you trying to solve back at that age? Well, I was looking for a reward to know that I was doing the right thing related to getting the approval of others. Mm-hmm. And so much of us in our lives look for the approval of others, and we do things in an effort to get approval from our parents or from our boss or from our spouse or from our whoever it happens to be. And the underlying psychological reason for why we're doing that, if that gets attached to a particular stimulus, in this case sugar, okay, it's going to lead to a sugar addiction, and that sugar addiction can evolve into
other
addictions.
So what about somebody that, say, had a different type of problem than an addiction? Say somebody came in and had high blood pressure. How would that
pathway?
Well,
high blood pressure is related to how a person responds to and deals with their stress.
Okay.
Because the gland that controls the stress response that regulates the sodium and potassium associated with elevating a person's blood pressure is your adrenal glands. And your adrenal glands are the glands that help you react to and deal with stress. So I would start asking questions to that person. What times of your day or what things go on in your life that cause you to have stress? And we could look at their relationship, we could look at their job, we could look at their family, we could look at their recreation, we could look at, what they do in order to escape from those stresses. We could look at all of those different things, and we get to a sense of understanding as to, well, what stresses this person out? And when we get them to take a look at that and we get them to have a different perspective and change the way that they look at it and change the way that they deal with it, then the reason for why their body's tense and why their body craves certain things and develops a physiological response that results in elevated blood pressure, then that no longer exists.
But oftentimes I know that in your practice, when somebody has a health imbalance, you also support the process of coming back into health by supplementing, using whole food supplements and things
right.
of that nature. Are there other things that you do in the practice that help somebody come back?
Yeah, I mean, I have a new patient in my office that's been with me for a couple of weeks who has Parkinson's, okay? He's mm-hmm. got this tremor that's going on, and mm-hmm. he's not comfortable with having it, and he doesn't want to necessarily take the medications that they want for him. So we came in, and we found that he had an imbalance in his cerebellum. And there's a particular food supplement that helps to feed and nourish the cerebellum. And we discovered that he was deficient in it. So one of the ways that we're supporting him is by giving him this particular nutrient that's going to help to feed the cerebellum. And when the cerebellum obtains enough nutritional support, he's going to watch that his tremor goes away. Mm-hmm. And realistically, that's really what he's interested in. He's not confident in going out in public if he has this tremor and being able to drive and all of this kind of stuff. And it's like, okay, well, when we make that go away, he's going to be a happy camper. And what we're doing is we're finding the specific ingredients that his body needs in order to replace the deficiency that he has in that part of his brain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now we're talking about something as severe as Parkinson's, which obviously he has the symptom of having this tremor.
Right.
And so you're doing something with him based on the kind of practice of bringing somebody back into health to reduce that down. But you're not using drugs. You're not using any of these medical interventions.
No, and the nice part is I learned this information from more than one of my mentors, and they both came to the same conclusion from a different perspective. It's like one came from the left and one came from the right, and they both landed on the same spot. And they said, well, this is the reason for why this happens. So when I sat with him in his consultation, and it was easy to see that he had a tremor, and it was easy to see that if I asked him to do certain things that his tremor would stop, you know. So now I understood what was going on with him physiologically. And so I told him ahead of time, we're going to do these tests. And if this shows a weakness, then we know that you actually have what you think you have. And if we do, we're going to do this. If we do this test and it comes back negative and you're strong, then we know it's a different problem and we're going to do this. And I told him ahead of time what we were going to expect based upon what we were going to find doing the testing. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so now he's like, okay, good. So it really doesn't matter what we find, because you know if it's one thing, you know how to fix it. And if it's something else, you know how to fix that. So good. Now I'm excited to find it. Whereas sometimes you go into the doctor's office and you're sitting there as a patient, you're saying, God, I hope they don't find anything. No, if you have a problem, you want them to find something. And that's what I tell them when I'm done with my physical exam. I say, I've got good news and I've got good news. And they're like, well, what's the good news? I say, well, the first good news is that you have a problem. And they say, well, why is that good news, Dr. Rick? I said, well, because you came in here with a problem. So good. I found that you're not crazy, that actually you do have what you have. Well, what's the second good news? Well, the second good news is I know actually how to fix it, make it go away. Well, that is good news. And it's like, good. So they're now excited to come to my office. Why? Because they know that we're going to make their problem go away. And that's different than when you go to your medical doctor's office, because a lot of time there's a lot of trepidation. I hope they don't find anything. Right. Because then that means I got something seriously wrong with me, and then I got to do this, that, and the other thing, and I don't want to do this, that, and the other thing.
Right. You feel like you're at the top of the roller coaster and about
right.
to go down and be out of control.
Big hill and be out of control. And for me, what I do is I give people more control, because I give them the understanding and I show them practical solutions.
Well, that is brilliant. That is really brilliant. This has really been a great conversation, and I know that we've touched on several different conditions that people have experienced and that you've been able to treat in your office. I'm sure that people who are listening to this radio show now may have their own questions, their own physical concerns, their own health concerns that they would like to address. And for those people that are interested enough and inspired enough by the conversation to say, maybe I should check into this, Dr. Y, and ask the questions and find out what's going on with my health and find out if I do have a problem and I can look at what the problem is, that maybe there's a solution for my problem that's not going to cause me to be on a lifetime of medications or have to go in for surgery. If there's somebody out there with that perspective from this conversation and they want to reach you, once again, can you tell us what is the best way to reach out to you?
Well, the best way is to call my cell phone directly, which is area code 845-561-2225. If I don't answer the phone, it's just because I'm giving personal attention to the person who's sitting in front of me. You leave me a message, I will call you back and I will have the conversation with you. It's just sometimes people call me when I'm in the middle of doing something. So please leave a message, but call the phone number 845-561-2225. And if you don't want to leave a message that way, send me an email. My email is docrick, docrick, at spineboy.com. Again, docrick at spineboy.com. And I want to just reemphasize the fundamentals that we as human beings all have. And we just want to understand the question why, which is why little kids continue to ask why. Because if you give them a strong enough answer to the question why, then it satisfies their curiosity. And then they don't ask why about that anymore. But like you pointed out, Mark, they may ask why about other things and may become the never-ending why. And because that's the greatest question for any of us to ask about life, why? So I appreciate you tuning in this week. I'm going to say to tune back in next week, same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all...